Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tippy Talk, TNT in the Night, where we talk about overcoming difficult situations or just handling it better. We go through our daily adventures where we ask the question, what have you done today? What stands out today? And what is the most important thing that happened today? How have you overcome today? And what was your challenge of the day? We march into the other side of midnight, walking in the retrospect, tracking our behavior, not to judge ourselves or feel bad about it, but to find ways to improve our tomorrow. Presented to you by the E Factor, we talk to people who were faced with major challenges and find their struggles and triumphs and lessons that they were blessed with due to the way they rose to the call of the other side, the way they faced situations that they never thought they would have to face. Because what you will find when the unexpected hits you in the face is that there are resources deep within you that begin to bubble to the surface and make themselves available to you and invite you to help yourself in situations that you never saw before.
Hello and welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein and we are here tonight. I'm really excited. I'm really not so excited to speak to you about the topic that we're going to cover tonight. I'm very excited to speak with Kenneth Marcus, who was our guest tonight, because the topic that we're going to talk about really scares me to death, as it should scare every single person, because it's about anti-Semitism, which has now reared its ugly head once again. It's about hate. It's about destruction. And it looks like it's the new face of the Nazi has emerged in a darker and much more bloodthirsty face, if that's even possible. But specifically, we're talking about how it's being promoted in American universities. But I have made a firm decision that I'm not going to act in response to the fear. On the contrary, I'm going to act in spite of the fear. And in spite of the seemingly growing reality of hate. And even more than that, I'm going to counter it with love. Yes, love. Now, that may sound a little bit counterproductive, and it seems like it's counterproductive, but when I say love, I'm not talking about turning the other cheek. And I'll explain what I'm talking about in a minute. But sadly tonight, my guest, Kenneth L. Marcus, had to cancel. We will reschedule our conversation with him, but although I really do wish he were here right now to discuss his role in combating this horrific monster that is growing in the universities, I do understand that it's an emergency, and I know that he's diligently working on defeating this hate. And when I say that he's diligently working on defeating this hate, let me tell you exactly what it is that he's working on so that you can understand how important it is and why it has to be done. But I'm going to tell you about him more, who Kenneth L. Marcus is, when he comes back to us and when we do have the conversation, what he's doing. But one of the things that he's working with is what's called Title VI. Title VI is funding to the universities. And let me read you this. In Washington and San Francisco, on September 17, Congress is considering now reauthorizing of the Higher Education Act, which is called the HEA, and that's the Title VI, in several individual bills, leading organizations focused on education policy and the Jewish community and civil rights announced today a coordinated effort to provide lawmakers with solutions to prevent misuse of federal funds under AGA Title VI. Title VI was enacted by Congress as a part of a 1965 AGA. Title VI provides federal funds to 129 international studies and foreign languages centers at the universities. That's nationwide. Now, Title VI has the mandate to strengthen, that's what it was mandated to do, to strengthen U.S. security by training security specialists and educating the public. And in the absence of congressional oversight, however, these programs have devolved into hotbeds of anti-American and anti-Israeli activities. So not only is the anti-American, anti-Israeli, and hate activities taking place in the universities, it is funded by Congress. It is funded by the government through Title VI. Disseminating falsehood, both in universities and through the congressional mandated public outreach program, to K through 12 teachers and to the general public. So if someone is working, if Ken is working right now on fixing this problem so that we don't fund the hate talk in the universities, of course it's more important than anything else that he can possibly do. And so, yes, I'm very sad he's not here, but I'm very excited that he will be. We can't really talk exactly on what he's doing because some things are not for me to discuss. He will discuss it when he can, but I can only tell you that it has to do with Title VI. And so defunding and reforming the way those funds are being used and actually abused is very important to me, and it should be important to every American. So anytime anyone works on this issue, they do have my blessings, because my commitment is to make the world a better place, a safer place, and to wipe out hate, and to wipe it out in a way that once and for all, it won't grow again. Because as we know, hate and evil has been with us for thousands, if not more, years, and it has grown and being fed by more hate. Just when we thought we wiped out Nazism, which wasn't really wiped out, maybe defeated, but not wiped out, they passed the rod to a darker and much worse darkness. And so, yes, it's time to wipe it out completely. And Title VI is one avenue. So if you press the button, the follow button right here, right on top, you'll be notified when the interview will take place. And you can always unpress it if you don't like it, but if you do want to, that's where it is right now. You can also leave a comment right here below if you have any specific topic that you want to cover, if you have any specific questions you want to ask him, because we may not have the time to take questions. So anything you want to prepare, I'll be more than happy to give it to him, to address it as much as possible. Some of the things that are going on in the universities are things that really everybody should know. And that's why I said I'm going to really talk about it, even though I could have just rescheduled the whole thing and not spoken about it today and taken on a completely different topic. But Jewish students do have the right to feel safe on campus. They do have a right to exist. Human rights and civil rights should be to Jewish students as much as to anybody else, especially right now when we have this unbelievable unrest and destruction from one community screaming about their civil rights, and this monster that is looming against the Jewish community is so much bigger than anything else, because it is straight out hate. It's not subtle. It's not hidden. It's out. It's in the open. And it is growing. So here's an article that I got written by a girl called Melanie Goldberg. She was a student at university. she thought that, well, let me read you what she writes. It all started when I took out some anti-BDS information sheet at Brooklyn College, which happens to be my alma mater. Sponsored event. It was a sponsored event last year that featured Omar Barghouti, the founder of the BDS movement. Now, the BDS movement is what is called Against Israel, which is really the new face of Nazism. It's BDS, Boycott, Divest, and Sanction Israel, and the goal is to wipe Israel off the map. And that goal has been there since the beginning by the PLO. So let me read her article. You'd expect that any student opposed to the speaker anti-Israel views, I plan to challenge Barghouti by taking notes as he spoke and asking questions during the Q&A period. That's what any good student would do. But I never got a chance to participate. Why did she never get a chance to participate? Because a member of Students for Justice in Palestine, SJP, the event's main organizer, had her own plans. He had the view that this wasn't the time or place to voice opposition, so I should either hand over my sheet or be kicked out. When I refused, he had City University of New York, CUNY security officials, escort me and two other Yarmulke Klatz students out of the event. No questions asked. So if you're about free speech, this is not about free speech. This is about hate speech, and only hate speech is allowed. So he says, the following week, my name was synonymous with First Amendment oppression. My phone rang incessantly. Politicians wanted to speak to me. Lawyers flooded my inbox with requests to advocate for my legal rights. Yet I was a college senior. I should have been applying to graduate school, finishing my honors thesis, and interviewing for jobs, but not vetting law firms, bonding with politicians, and answering reporters. I was elbow deep in a controversy that was much bigger than myself, and while I began to realize that indeed gross institutional violation has been committed, I didn't know enough to understand what I was entitled to and what consequences the court could enforce against the violators. And so that's how college students are finding out about what's going on. And if you're Jewish and being attacked by the BDS movement, of course you find out about it. Now, Ken Marcus, is one of the things that he founded was the Louise D. Brandeis Center. It's Center for Human Rights Under the Law, because he's also an attorney. And basically, they funded that to make sure that the Jewish kids have their civil rights protected in the universities, that they're not attacked, that they're allowed to speak their voice without being abused. And so enter the Louise D. Brandeis Center for Human Rights Under Law. Like in my case, students are often unfamiliar with their rights. The ignorance can lead academic institutions to unlawfully restrict students. Ironically, academia should be the place where students feel safest to speak their minds. The Brandeis Center assisted me and the two other students, and Brooklyn College eventually apologized. The apology wasn't personally important to me, but it was crucial to know that other students wouldn't have to experience what I did. And that's really nice, and that's really optimistic, but I don't believe it's quite yet over. And so the article goes forward to today. In less than 2 years, the situation has become more grim for Jewish students. Actually, not better. There has recently been a dramatic spike in anti-Semitism incidents on campuses nationwide. In fact, more than 40% of Jewish American college students report that they have experienced or are aware of anti-Semitism on their campuses. Just this month, swastikas were drawn on two flyers posted at Northeastern University to publicize a lecture by an Israeli military official last month. A Jewish student at Claremont University had his Israeli flag and mezuzah ripped off his dorm room. A month before that, a Jewish student at Temple University was punched in the face, knocked down, and called baby killer, racist, Zionist pig by a fellow student. Last spring, SJP at Vassar College republished a vile anti-Semitic Nazi cartoon. Around the same time, at the University of Michigan, anti-Israel student activists hurled death threats at a Jewish student and called him dirty Jew and Kayakin. These examples cover only roughly the past 6 months. And those are the kind of things that happen post-Hitler's regime. Those are the kind of things that are happening right now at the universities. And this is just the one aspect in the universities that we're covering right now. So back to New York, where Brooklyn College students still worry about SJP's discrimination practices on campus. A resolution against SJP's unlawful behavior was never instituted. Concerns are voiced at CUNY, John Jay, and CUNY Graduate Center, ranging from students' fear to wear their yarmulkes on campus due to the recent anti-Zionism morphing into anti-Semitism chants, to the legality of a pro-BDS resolution vote being held on a Friday night to prevent Jews from vocalizing their side. At Fordham University, students are worried because a professor who vocalizes opposition to the American Study Association pro-BDS stance was investigated. Unfortunately, the list goes on and on. That's why I decided to do this interview, and that's why I decided to stand up and speak out and do whatever I can and do whatever is possible to stop this. I don't know how much I can do, but I know that whatever I can do, it will be done. And speaking about it and spreading the word and teaching people the truth. And the truth is that hate and harm really is not just against, it might be against Jews right now. It might seem like it is against the Jews only, but it's not. Everybody should be concerned about it, whether they're Jewish or not. It doesn't matter if you're Muslim, you should be concerned about it, because even though it is primarily a Muslim organization that is building this hate, if you're a Muslim that doesn't agree with this, they will come after you too. If you're a Christian, you should be very worried, because you will also be discriminated. If you're a Hindu, if you're a human being, you should worry about something so hateful being spread. This is exactly what happened. It was at Hitler's time, with movies, with propaganda, with lies, and all those things that are saying, never mind that they're about hate, but there's not a lot of truth in them. They take an event, most of the stuff that Hamas is doing, and then they blame Israel for doing it, and then they yell slogans and anti-Israel or and anti-Zionism, which is basically just the first step towards anti-Judaism, anti-Semitism, anti-humanity, and anti-anybody that doesn't agree with them. So yes, continuing reading this article, Jewish students do have the right to feel safe on campus. Yes, they do have the right. But right now, it doesn't look like they have the ability. They have the right to walk the halls wearing their yarmulke, their kippah. Yes, they do. But right now, it's not so safe, is it? They have the right to hang a mezuzah if they want to. And they have the right to host pro-Israel events and to speak freely about their support for Israel in the classroom and on the square. They have the right to speak the truth. But they are attacked. When he headed the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights, Brandeis Center President Ken Marcus took the first steps by including protection against anti-Semitism under the Title VI of the U.S. Civil Rights Act. But more must be done to ensure that universities comply with the law. And that is why I do feel bad that he's not here, but I feel good because I know he's working on Title VI. Stopping the abuse of Title VI, and I know that that is really important. I also know that so much more needs to be done. He's only one person, and if you're listening, that's the question that you need to ask yourself. What can I do because each and every one of us needs to contribute. Because if we don't, we already know. We already saw the results of what happens when we bury our head in the sand and we don't do anything. We already know what Hitler looked like. And even though I never thought anything could be worse than what Hitler did, this is worse, much, much worse, much, much bigger. As a matter of fact, it's not a secret that they hold up signs saying, if you think you saw a Holocaust before, it's nothing compared to what we plan to do. So we know. We know what they're going to do. We know what is planned, but we also know that we must do something about it. So the question you need to ask yourself again is, what am I going to do? And am I going to get you up there and do it? No, that's totally up to you, what you're going to do. But one of the things, one of the most important things that you need to understand, that you need to do now is, do not be afraid to see exactly what's going on. Do not be afraid to face the truth. Because being afraid to face the truth is basically allowing the evil to take place. And really, as powerful as they may seem to be, and as much as they seem to be doing, there is no power. It's all built on sand. And when once you stand up to it, it will dissipate as it always has, as it did before the Six-Day War. And before the Six-Day War, which was one of the attacks against Israel in a big chain of attacks, the armies were outnumbered 1 to 100 or 1 to 1,000. I don't remember, but it was definitely outnumbered. The rhetoric every day was really scary. We're going to kill every Jew. We're going to destroy. And if Israel got afraid and didn't do anything, Israel wouldn't be there anymore. But instead, they didn't get afraid. They got up. They did what they had to do. They stood up for their survival, which is what love is. You love your family enough to protect them. You love your people enough to do what has to be done. And you love your enemy enough to stop them from doing things that you know that they shouldn't be really doing. And so when I say love, I mean, don't be afraid. Fear is the opposite of love. Don't hate back in your heart. Whatever you do to stop it, do it with love. Do it knowing you're doing the right thing. And do it firmly and do it quickly, whatever needs to be done. But do not do it for revenge and do not do it for hate. So, to continue this article, which I love, the thing is, all Jews, Zionists, aren't properly equipped to deal with those who oppose them. Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. We need to equip Jews and Zionists to deal with this, because Zionism has nothing to do with what they say that it does. And this is simply due to the fact that when you have people that hate you, you will have people who have done their homework more so than those on the receiving end. Even when their information is ridiculously biased and hypocritical and untrue, how do you fix this? And one of the things that you can fix it, as he says in this article, is education. So people claim they're committing genocide. Israel is committing genocide. She says this actually. I didn't know genocide included giving literally more than 1 million tons of aid to those it's attempting to wipe out, let alone admitting the daughter of one of the Hamas leaders to be treated in an Israeli hospital. That's what they call genocide. That's just one example. Another one that they're claiming is that the DBS is that Israel is stealing land. Who was there to begin with? Who stole what land? There is no land that was ever stolen. Jews and Arabs were there. The land, the place, the colony was a British colony. Was there an Arab state prior to a Jewish state? No, it was a British colony. Ask them to provide evidence. Can they? No. Why? Because prior to the British mandate, it was under Ottoman control for the last several hundred years. So it was Ottoman control, it was British controlled, and then it was given to the Jews, a tiny little part of land. So everything they say is not even true. and educating, education, knowledge, standing up with the truth in your head, not being afraid to be escorted out by security, but standing up to the truth, not crying when somebody says something false or hateful towards you, but raising your voice higher with the truth, with love. And so people that claim that Israel is an apartheid, funny, because I can name several non-Jews who are in the Knesset, such as Arabs who are judges in the Israeli government, as well as non-Jew commanders in the IDF. In Israel, not the West Bank, not in Gaza, there's not a single thing to justify the application of the word apartheid. But the fact is that just because it's not true does not mean they're not going to say it. So being armed with the truth, if there's something you want to do, get armed with the truth. What is Israel? What are they claiming? People who claim they're Palestinians, ask them what makes them any different from the Arab brothers in Jordan or in Egypt or in Iran or in Saudi Arabia. There's virtually no difference. And to be technical, the Jews are Palestinians as well. As a matter of fact, my mother was born in the region in 1933, which was then known as Palestine by the British. So technically, my mother is Jewish and she's Palestinian. The Latin coin name Palestine applied to a geographical region in the Levant, and its inhabitants never at any point were a literal entity or a singular people with an indefinite religion or language or culture. As for the branded morons who claim we're Philistines, I wasn't aware of any Philistines existing after they were destroyed, absorbed into other empires. The Persians and Babylonians who absorbed them, Philistine culture, religion, and language is non-existent other than very scarce evidence that they ever existed. The name shares similar linguistic origin, but by no means carry the same definition or application. Palestinian name Palestine was what the British called this colony. It was the Palestinian colony. To top it all off, Judaism existed more than 1,000 years before Islam was even thought of, before Islam was even a twinkle in anybody's eye. Jerusalem, the city of David, predated Islam by nearly the same measure. The Jews are indigenous by definition, the definition being based off cultural longevity, uniqueness to the region, who hold the greatest and most prominent identifiable ties to that land. The Jews are also one of the oldest and still existing tribal regions, still existing. And so I wasn't planning on reading this entire article, but there's two really important things about it. Number one, the severity of what's really going on. And let me tell you again, this is an article written by Melanie Goldberg in the JNS.org. And she's a student, a Jewish student at Brooklyn College, which happens to be my alma mater. I love Brooklyn College. When I went to Brooklyn College, it didn't look the way it does now. BDS did not even exist. So I can totally sympathize, and I think I'm going to go pay a visit to this institution right now. But just wanted to give you an idea of what it is that we're talking about. We will reschedule, and I will be talking about how you can combat this with love and with real information. And we will be talking to Kenneth L. Marcus again. He's the president and the general counsel of the Louise D. Brandeis Center for Human Rights and the Law. He's an attorney, and he's the author also of an award-winning Jewish Identity and Civil Rights in America book. And he founded the Brandeis Center in 2011. And basically the center really was funded to combat the resurgence of anti-Semitism in the higher education. And we're going to talk to him about his work and his passion and what he's doing when we talk to him, which will probably be in 2 weeks or so. I will definitely let you know. Again, if you're interested in hearing more about it and if you have something to say about it, and I really believe everybody should, push the follow button right here on top, and you will be notified every time we go. And unfortunately, right now, we are out of time, and we are going to be back with this topic until we're going to wipe out all the hate on this planet. And until we meet again, have a wonderful evening.
We have come to the end of Tippy Talk tonight on the E Factor Show. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and you are listening to Black Talk Radio. E Factor stands for the energy factor. It is the factor that we adjust in order to take on the daily challenges and mold our life into the energy of our desires. My book, Planning Power, is available on Amazon. All you have to do is go to Amazon.com and type in Planning Power, and my book should pop up either first or second in line. Or you can go to the website and find out more about it, which is lifemodification.net. That's .net, not .com. You can also read the first chapter and see if you wish to read more. And most important, we invite you, the listener, to participate. You can call into the E-Factor Live on Mondays at 8:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 11:30 Eastern Time, and give us your opinion, your question, your idea, or your challenge of the day. We also invite you to follow us. All you have to do is click on that follow button right there on top, and you'll receive updates and notices every time we broadcast. We will be broadcasting randomly throughout the week, but always here live on Monday. Until we meet again, have a magical journey, and let your talent be your potion.